The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable, Financially Speaking with Sean. We have the preeminent Cliff Kelly on the line. He is our guru, our governor of talk radio, and our icon. So we're glad to have him on the line. And then we also have Sean Claiborne, the National Guard veteran, VP of Wintrust Investments, serves as a financial advisor and America's Heroes Group public policy panelist. Today will be talking about the discussion around disabled veterans. Former Trump advisor indicted for fraud over viral border wall GoFundMe campaign. And it's always really disheartening when we talk about people who are doing things that are questionable. It's alleged right now. We have to let due process take its course. But if you can, Sean, give us a picture of what is going on and how this veteran Brian Colfage actually got involved in this whole process.
Thanks for having me, Doc.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this is an interesting story. Somewhere between $22 and $25 million were raised, and for the infamous border wall that we're talking about in the media today. Steel fencing, more or less, that goes along the southwest border. So Steve Colfage basically started a GoFundMe campaign, and a website also called We Build the Wall Incorporated. These are both launched by Brian Colfage. So Colfage is a disabled Air Force veteran. He lost both his legs and his arm in an Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2004. And he teamed up with Steve Bannon, who, of course, of the Trump campaign fame, to start a campaign to raise money to start this border wall. Now, initially, when this border wall was being talked about in the media and social media and things like that, they claimed that they would not use any of the donations for compensation. So Brian Colfage is accused of skimming off more than $350,000, while his counterpart and alleged co-conspirator, Steve Bannon, is accused of stealing about $1 million of that money. So out of the $22 to $25 million, they were able to skim off money into their own pockets for their own benefit when they publicized that they would not actually get any kind of compensation. They were actually going to be volunteers. So Colfage and Bannon, along with other defendants, are charged with conspiracy to commit money laundering and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And the maximum penalty for those charges each is 20 years in prison each. So specifically in the bylaws of the We Build the Wall Incorporated, it says Mr. Colfage will take no salary, quote unquote, will take no salary for the performance of his duties as president of the corporation, which in case if this investigation goes its course and he is found guilty, this will be definitely something that will be a black eye against GoFundMe pages. And also one thing to keep in mind, this is also another event that has brought into the light the issue of veterans using their cachet as veterans and disabled veterans to raise money, either through fraudulent means or by just using the cachet to try and to pull at the heartstrings of Americans who want to donate to GoFundMe causes. If you go onto the website for GoFundMe, if you search right now, there's about 90,000 web pages dedicated to raising money for veterans causes. And some people that are raising these monies are not necessarily veterans. They're claiming to be veterans, but they're not always veterans. Now, Mr. Colvide, of course, did serve in Iraqi Operation Freedom. However, using the veteran banner, if you will, to raise money is one thing that people are finding despicable and also is kind of rubbing people the wrong way around the world, and not just the United States, but around the world, because people have served in American causes, and to see a disabled veteran to have such publicly used his history as a veteran and also his disability to try to finance a cause that A is questionable to begin with. And there's a lot of research and data we can go into later on that shows that even the mere idea of building a wall for that purpose was kind of flawed to begin with. So when Colfage originally launched the GoFundMe site, he claimed that the donations would be given to the federal government to build the border wall. However, just a few months later, as the money started pouring into the cause, he did an about face and then claimed that a nonprofit private organization will receive the donation money and build the wall instead. Okay. This prompted GoFundMe to offer refunds. They refunded about $6 million of the donations. That's when Kofaj switched gears and launched the We Built the Wall Incorporated website so he could continue to collect donations and stop the donation refunds. So that's something that's very, very, very disheartening and very sad to hear that a veteran, someone who's also a particularly disabled veteran, would actually do something like that when it's so easy just to be honest and just basically say, okay, we're doing this cause. Why not just publicize that you're going to take compensation like any other nonprofit?
Yeah, and he was also surrounded by some, you know, despicable people who
may have taken advantage
of him as well. I'm wondering, because, you know, the mental status of a person has lost both of their legs and their arm. And, you know, as a veteran, you know, I'm not sure of, and he, you know, he's entitled to his defense, you know, of anything that's being said and done. And my heart and my prayers go with him. You know, as a veteran myself, I served in Iraq the same year, actually 2004-5. So I hope I'm hoping that at least in some way something, you know, maybe there was some misleading information or that that they actually take those things into account. But the other people who were working with him never served and actually were taking millions of dollars. And so, you know, financially, you know, this is money laundering and all that. What are the implications financially for the things that they did? You know, you were saying that they have a 20-year sentence for each of those things that they were accused of, right?
Right. And then the key thing is, how is the money going to be recovered for the donors? Because a lot of donors feel taken advantage of. And it's really not clear as how is that money going to be refunded back to the people that actually gave to the cause. And then once again, the Pentagon has already allocated funds for building a border wall. They diverted a lot of money from operations around the world to fund the border wall. So is this money even really necessary?
So Someone asked a question the other day, which, you know, you can probably answer because, you know, people talking about the border wall. Exactly where is the wall or where it's to be?
It's supposed to be along the southwest border of the United States, so parts of California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Those are the main states that they're trying to build this border wall. So the thing of it is, when we talk about the significance of the wall, the border wall apprehensions, if you have to keep in mind, have been down 75% since 2000. So border wall apprehensions from the southwest border is down 75% in the last 20 years. Okay, now keep in mind, on the flip side of that, illegal border crossings from the U.S., from the Canada to the U.S., has tripled in the last 3 years. But all the attention is focused on the southwest border. Okay. Mm-hmm. And typically when we're talking about border walls are really not designed by really don't serve as a way to try to protect the country or protect citizens from violence or any kind of crime, things like that. It's research actually shows that they actually have the opposite effect. You look at border walls around the world, and there's been a springing up, actually. I think in 1990, they said something like 12 border walls existed between national borders in the world. Now it's like 70 now. And typically, you see the border walls coming up to separate economic disparities between rich nations and poor nations. You don't see border walls going up around, say, the Gaza Strip, or border walls going up between, you know, fighting warring countries. You see border walls going up between poor countries and rich countries as a way to isolate poor, economically disenfranchised, away from the rich nations.
Yeah.
So where do we stand at this point? What do you see? I mean, you're an expert on this. What do you see that's going to happen?
Well, we'll see. Once this investigation runs its course, there's actually COFAG is going to plan a major a media event, either through social media or through a news outlet, which he has yet to name that social media outlet or any outlet that's going to show his side of the story. So he's going to sometime in the future, near future, expectedly, release his side of the story, showing that he did not take any money that was illegally or inappropriately. Although, from what the evidence appears to show, he definitely did something that was improper. Once again, though, something that didn't have to go that route. He could have based very easily to said, okay, this is what we're doing. These are our fees. These are our compensation. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, so that's, and he has the right to do that. However, skimming the money off the top and for a cause that looks like there's no evidence of whatsoever of any real work being done to even finance or give money to a company to build a border wall. So we do some research. Actually, there's some research that shows illegal immigration increased the size of U.S. economic contributions and economic growth. So illegal immigrants, the focus on this idea that people coming from other nations are stealing jobs, causing crime, you know, running up our health care, medical costs, and taking jobs away from hardworking people. The evidence is completely contrary to what we're seeing. This is from the Congressional Budget Office, the National the Academy of Science, the Brookings Institute, the Cato Institute. If you look at all the research and studies that are out there, this is actually something straight out of the Cato Institute research that shows that immigrants, illegal and particularly illegal immigrants, what they're focusing on, enhance the welfare of Native Americans, contribute more in tax revenue that they collect, reduce American firms' incentive to offshore jobs, and import foreign-produced goods. So essentially what they're doing is they're increasing the GDP and economic growth of the nation. When you take away illegal immigration, as a matter of fact, when you reduce the amount of people that are coming into this country that are willing to work and do some of the jobs that most Americans don't want to do, you actually see a 3 to 6% drop in unskilled labor wages, which is contrary to what people actually think. People think that, you know, like I said, people are coming in and taking these jobs, but reality is the only people that are typically affected are unskilled high school dropouts. That's the only place you can really find where wages have been affected in any way, and it's minor in that case.
Yeah, you know, if anyone wants to call in with any questions, call 773-591-1690. Again, 773-591-1690. And, you know, Sean, this thing is, you know, actually, it was kind of interesting because I was looking at the, you know, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York is really where this falls under. And it's kind of interesting because there are a lot of other, you know, cases pending against people who were involved in this, you know, Steve Bannon, some other people that are also going through that previously for other, you know, other issues that were being brought up about, you know, malfeasance and not, you know, doing things legitimately or legally. So why do you think this is why is this so important? Because I know the banking industry is actually located, you know, in New York in a strong way. And with this money, how was this money handled? Was it going into banks or how were they controlling the flow of the money?
So a lot of what was being reported is they were actually setting up what you could kind of call in an investment world, like shell corporations or shell entities. So fake entities that basically were housing these monies, or what's being alleged that these are fake entities that really are not designed or not there to really do what they say they're doing. So maybe they're supposed to build a wall, or maybe they're a construction company, but really just it's a fake organization. And they generated fake invoices so when you look at and examine the books of the organization, you see invoices coming in for expenses, payments being made out from to cover those expenses, but no real work being done as far as building a wall or doing the things that the donors are expecting to be done. So the donors are going to start demanding, and you're starting to see a lot of lawsuits coming forth to demand the full accounting of what the money was actually used for. Mm-hmm. And once again, there's still a $3 million gap when you look at all the accounts, $22 million on the low end, over $25 million on the high end, as what was actually raised from hundreds of thousands of people across the United States. So it's very disconcerting. But then also, once again, we look at, you know, when you have these different types of organizations like GoFundMe, where you put money into a blind site and you're hoping that what you're donating towards is legitimate. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information. There's a counter site called GoFraudMe, which is led by a lady named Adrienne Gonzalez. She actually created this website a few years back. And they have like over 400 cases being investigated now, where people have just lied and said, "Okay, we're doing this for our community or for a cause that they care about." And really, they're just basically committing fraud and taking money from Americans all across the country. Yeah, so that's, I think, the biggest impact of this, of what's wrong with this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Sean, because one of the things I was thinking when you were talking is that there are so many veteran organizations that do incredible work out there, and what a stain mm-hmm. this is on, you know, on their efforts to, you know, to actually legitimately ask for money and donations to really actually help veterans who are disabled, people who are in need of that kind of support, who serve their country honorably. And so it's really a very negative thing. Is there a way for people to start looking at things? Are mechanisms to find out legitimate versus non-legitimate organizations? I'm not sure if there are websites or places they can go to verify. And Cliff, we talk about this all the time, you know, what Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify, you know.
Right.
Is there a way of doing that?
Where there is, there actually, the Veterans Administration has on their website a lot of, I forget the actual title they have, but they actually have vetted or verified veteran organizations that they support, that the Veteran Administration says these are legitimate organizations. We looked into these organizations, and it's actually a process you can go through to get your organization on that site. And there's thousands across the country that are vetted, that have legitimate things that they do in the community. And also, I think it's very important when you want to help any kind of cause. I'm a strong supporter of getting your hands dirty. Don't just write a check. Oftentimes, you can do more good and have a bigger impact by actually going out and volunteering. I think spending your time and effort with these organizations to actually help veterans and help people around the country. Because when you actually bring in your time and effort, the cost of that is enormous. I mean, take the cost. You can write a check for $10, but you have a much bigger impact if you donate 2 or 3 hours of your time, because you can't buy that with $10 or $20. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the most important thing that people need to take away from when they're trying to support, especially veterans groups. And another thing is we need to have a conversation really about, you know, why in the first place is our veteran service organizations carrying the bulk of the weight in trying to solve veterans' issues? When the veterans have already paid the price in uniform to get these benefits, we should have a conversation in Congress about creating laws that open up, instead of having all these different qualifiers of what benefits, especially medical benefits, especially talking about people getting care for any kind of illness or disease or sickness that you may or may not have gotten while they're in service. That shouldn't even be part of the conversation. Why should you have, as a veteran, have to prove that you got sick or got hurt overseas or in a combat zone when you put on that uniform? Once you put on that uniform and you serve, the military is the only institution that does this. If you go to work in any job and you fall down at the job and break your leg, nobody wants to make you prove that that's something that happened at the job. Therefore, we're not going to cover it. If you could be at home cutting wood in the backyard and chop off your hand. And then you have insurance. Your job's insurance is not going to say, well, wait a minute, that had nothing to do with your job description. Yeah, so we're not going to pay for that.
Yeah, I like the idea that, you know, we need to get our feet and our hands dirty and actually do something. And I was talking to Glenda about this earlier, is that we need to have a marching of veterans to the voting, the polls, and to make sure that we vote. And, you know, we have people, you know, turning in their ballots at the, you know, at the mailboxes, and also, you're making sure they go into the polling places with their mask on, socially distanced, and washing their hands. But making sure
Doctor, and I totally agree with you on that.
And we have a caller in, too. We have Sel on the line. He says his comment is that veterans need to have a march concerning what is going on now. Sel, why don't you come in and tell us what your view is?
Well, as a body.
Yes.
As a related spirit, veterans need to stand up and say something.
Yes.
I have suggested that we have a march from 55th up to 52nd on Cottage Grove to the Jones Armory, where we would make our statement regarding not only what you're talking about right now, but to draw attention to the fact that as veterans, we matter.
Yes.
In the most important way. The most important way, and it's just, now, I know that there are other veterans who have participated in the different demonstrations that have gone on, but we need to do a march in our spirit, something that we organize, and I want to put that on the table.
Mm.
Cliff knows that he's got my soul, my spirit, my will to support it.
And you're right. I'm well aware of what you're talking about. And I am totally in favor of it. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So I will get with Glenda.
Something we really ought to put together soon.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sel, because, you know, we stand in war together, and we're definitely in a time that needs someone to stand up for adversity that's happening in our community. you know, with everything that's going on, with making sure that all humans are treated equally. That's what we fought for. That's what we put the uniform on, was for all American citizens, not just for some. And that kind of united march that goes across all lines, you know, racial and gender, needs to happen. And we need to stand up for the American values that all of our comrades in arms that died for. And those Gold Star families that are out there are looking to the country to not make their loss and the sacrifices of their sons and daughters stand out there in vain. So I really agree with you 100%. Yeah, so, you know, so...
Yeah.
So, you know, I was going to get back to Sean. So what do you think is going to happen? Because I think Cliff was open that question. You know, do you think that this is going to turn out to be, you know, a thing where we have a bad thing again in the media about what a veteran may have done? How do we do damage control with this?
And I missed that, Doc. Tell me that again.
Yes. I was wondering how we do damage control, Cliff, you know, in confronting this issue, because sometimes it's very easy to paint a whole group, just like the police right now. We have, you know, some police who are, you know, basically bad cops. But most of them, the majority of them, are good people who are trying to do and carry out their functions. But when one is brought up, you have there's a tendency to paint the entire group with a paintbrush. So, you know, how do we make sure that we're restoring, you know, this view and the honor of our veterans, and making sure it stays untarnished by someone doing something that may not be legitimate, that may be, you know, an illegal act?
Right, exactly. Honestly, I think you really can't do much to tarnish the honor and the bravery and the valor that a veteran has. I mean, any veteran who would put their life in danger, or any person who's dedicated their time to serve the country, regardless of what their motives were, whether they're trying to escape an economic situation by joining the military and get education or whatever, or they just, you know, this are just gung ho about being in the military, whatever the situation is. You really can't tarnish that reputation, because at the end of the day, very few Americans are willing to go out and grab that rifle and get in that foxhole. When you're faced with that reality, no matter what one person does, whether it's called Kofaj or anybody that does something illegitimate to raise money for a cause, or tries to use try to pose as a veteran to try to generate money, whether they're begging in the street or doing whatever, you really can never tarnish the grave sacrifice that a person has made once they become a service member.
Okay.
Because it's just too great of a challenge that most people are not, or a burden, I should say, that most people are not willing to take on.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sean, for that information.
We're
running short on time, and Glenda has to make a very important announcement, you know, concerning one of our co-panelists, his wife, Borges. And then also, I'm glad that you directed me to this VA website. That was very informative, Sean, because I want to really look and see what the list of legitimate organizations are, because I plan on, you know, donating. I have done in the past, but really starting to step up to the plate with trying to make sure I support those organizations. And as you said, pull up my sleeves and maybe even get out there and help out
sure.
any way I can.
We could get a group together, Doc.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we
I'd
have
be
our
more than willing, and I know you would be too.
We have our executive producer Glenda Smith circling right now. She's about to step in. Yes.
The governor of talk radio, close us out. Tell me to go and end the show.
Glenda.
Can't wait to get you back in the studio. And he's getting there. Doing a job
on
the phone, because you can't tell he's not here.
No.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Cliff Kelly, Dr. Arna, and Glenda. Yay!
Yes.
Okay. Regarding any information and resources that's needed about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. Facebook listening audience. We are global because of you. Thank you for listening and watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page. Therefore, you will receive future notifications regarding events, resources, regarding our veterans, armed forces, and family members. As always, we are extremely grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Crusaders for our article that comes out every week in that newspaper, Voices, regarding the one and only Governor Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group. Call Chicago Crusaders, 773-752-2500, and request a subscription so you can read the newspaper. To Titus Williams, to Dalvin Randall, two of the best technical producers at WBON, for always helping us get started. Thank you so much. And on behalf of Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, we extend our deepest condolences to one of our panelists, attorney Ernesto Borges, on the passing of his wife, Dr. Stephanie Borges. Love you, Ernesto. Love you. And we are with
you. Absolutely. We sure do.
And she was an OB-GYN, and she saved many people's lives. Many people wouldn't be in this world in our community today if she hadn't put all those decades into saving people's lives, keeping women safe, and making sure that they did not have to go through unnecessary procedures.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of meeting her on 87th Street when we were still over there. Yeah. She was on one of the shows. Yeah. Such an elegant, intelligent woman.
She's wonderful.
So you all have a blessed weekend on behalf of America's Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group. Blessings to all. Stay safe.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Talk of Chicago and the Voice of the Nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.